And the Sankirtan Yajna is the sacrifice for the saints.
Hare Krishna.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Jana Ranjana Jasod Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Upendra, Upendra Hari. Sorry. One, I have a secret message for you. Okay. There's a chair being delivered for you. Yeah, it is. It's coming right now. Okay, Hare Krishna. We are attempting to read. Somebody's turning the microphone around. We are attempting to read from the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter. 15th chapter Bhagavad Gita. We're going to do text 1, and we're going to do a few verses. We're going to try to do a chapter summary. But now that it's 20 after 5, we'll see how much we can summarize in half an hour, 40 minutes. Anyway. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Omagina timirandasya jinanjana salakaya chaksu unilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupam kadatmayam kadatvispa badantitam.
I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and I was very happy there, or I thought I was. But Srila Prabhupada very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and now I'm not happy there. I'm more happy here. Thank you very kindly, Srila Prabhupada. And I beg for service at your lotus feet life after life. Hare Krishna. So this chapter 15 in Bhagavad Gita, it's called Yoga of the Supreme Person. Sanskrit's called Purushottam Yoga, which obviously means the same thing. Yoga of the Supreme Person. And just to put a little perspective, It's the Bhagavad Gita, 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, if you divide it into three sections. The first section, the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita talk about karma and actions and what to do and what the reactions of those things are. They talk about that. The middle six chapter of Bhagavad Gita talk about bhakti and how one can develop their relationship with the Lord and how to serve with love and devotion and bhakti. And the last six chapters of the Gita talk about jnana. Now sometimes, okay, jnana translates to mean knowledge. And sometimes jnana, knowledge, gets a bad rap. But in the sense, jnana, knowledge, or transcendental knowledge that's aimed at knowing more about Krishna is good jnana. And knowledge of the impersonal Brahman and that aspect of the Lord that leads one away from their personal relationship to the Supreme Lord, that is not the type of jnana that devotees cultivate. We try to cultivate bhakti jnana, jnana that will enhance our bhakti. So this chapter 15 is in the last section of the Gita, which is talking about jnana. But then, just to re-emphasize the point, this kind of knowledge that's given here is to illuminate our hearts and minds and consciousness so that we become even more devoted to Krishna. That's the point. So this 15th chapter, first verse, starts off with an example, a metaphor that's quite interesting and quite involved. And I'm just going to read the Sanskrit one time, and then we're going to go right into the translation. So, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Urvam Mulam Adashakam Asvatam Prahur Avyayam Chandam Siyasya Parnani Yastam Veda Savedavit. So this is being spoken by Krishna himself, and he says right off the bat, he says, Urdvam Mulam, that means the roots. I think I'll go to the translation and then go back to the word for word so you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so the Blessed Lord said, there's a banyan tree which has its roots upwards and its branches down, and whose leaves, so the leaves would be on the bottom part of the tree, the leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. What does that mean? The Blessed Lord said, there's a banyan tree which has its roots upwards and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that Krishna is giving an analogy of what this material world is like. This material world, normally, under normal, healthy conditions. Hare Krishna, nice to see you after so long. From Orlando. I'm sorry I forget your name, but I remember your face. Krishna's telling about this banyan tree. Normally we don't usually see a banyan tree, or any tree, under normal conditions, you know, under healthy conditions. You don't usually see a tree with its roots upwards and its branches down. Normally you see it like it is. Roots are in the ground, makes it nice and stable and strong and firm, can withstand sudden winds, etc., etc., and the branches are up, etc. But this tree is a reflected tree, and that's the point that Krishna is making here. And what is he saying? That this material world where we're living in now is a reflection of the spiritual world. It's a reflection of the spiritual world. So if we were on, if you could picture in your mind a lake, a nice lake, with trees on all around the lake and everything. We're on the far side of the lake, looking over to the other side of the lake. And what do you see there? If there's a tree on the shore of the far side of the lake, you see the real tree, and then you see the reflected tree in the water. And that reflected tree, if you're on the other side, looking at it, you're seeing the roots are up and the branches are down. And that's the point that Krishna is making. Interesting, it's in one sense, it's a difficult philosophical conception made easier for us to understand and grasp its import by this visual example that Krishna himself is giving. Some people and some schools of thought think that the material world is false. And Srila Prabhupada over and over and over and over again stresses, it's not false, it's real, but it's temporary. So similarly, we can picture and visualize that concept in our minds by looking at that tree reflected on the water. So every single point of that example, the tree reflected on the water, branches down, etc., leaves Vedicam, has a very important philosophical point behind it. One, starting with the water. So the real existence is in the spiritual world. Real existence is in the spiritual world, where life is eternal, full of bliss, and full of knowledge. Very attractive place to go to. Very interesting. It's what we're longing for here. We're looking for a permanent situation. We're looking for permanent happiness. We're looking for so many things. What's what we're looking for here? But here is the reflected tree. So let's just say that our tree was a mango tree, and there's so on the real tree there's so many nice ripe mangoes and etc., etc. And in the reflected tree, there's so many nice orangey red mangoes there in the reflect. If you go into the water and try to get the fruit and eat the fruit of that tree, it's going to be very watery and tasteless. It's not going to be the real taste. So again, the example is given that as in the material world, we're looking for happiness, we're looking for so many things, so many pleasant things, but we're finding a little reflection of it, a little something to keep us going. Krishna keeps us going in our illusion. but it's not the real thing. The reason, and then you can think of the reason that we're even hankering for happiness and a stable situation is because it exists. And we used to have it in our original position. We used to have it. We used to be part of it. But now we're in the water. So, the example, the water is desire. We weren't forced to leave the spiritual world. We weren't forced. We weren't pushed out by force. We were pushed out by our desire. And that desire, again, is a perverted desire. In the spiritual world, all the residents of the spiritual world are very happily and enthusiastically and ever increasingly anxious to serve the Lord. It never gets boring for them. It never gets boring, it never gets hackneyed, it never gets old. But somehow or other, there were a few of us that thought, all this Krishna stuff. I mean, I could do some of that too, you know, and why does it always have to be to Krishna? So somehow or other, and that's also an existential question that trips up a lot of people, if we were perfect in the spiritual world, why did we leave then? And the answer is because we were perfectly situated in the spiritual world, but we have free will. And we can use our free will just like you could use your free will right now. You can all get up and leave, or you can all stay, or you can go here, or you can go there. You can do many things, some of them favorable to your Krishna consciousness and some of them less favorable. But it's your free will to engage in that. So we're part and parcel of Krishna. That's Hare Krishna 101 philosophy. We're part of Krishna, but we're a very small, fragmental, teeny-weeny, itsy-beeny part of Krishna. So therefore, that teeny-weeny, itsy-beeny little part of Krishna has knowledge, has eternality and bliss, but it also has free will, and we can choose to where we're going to put our consciousness, to Krishna or to me. So that's the water in this example, how the tree is reflected on desire. So somehow or other, the desire arose that we decided we wanted to try out worshiping ourselves, more or less. Okay. for not a really good choice of words, but anyway, we decided we wanted to not give all of our attention to Krishna. We wanted to give 99% of our attention to Krishna, to ourselves, and maybe 1% every now and then to Krishna. Anyway, so we didn't fit in. So therefore, Krishna created the material world, etc., etc. That's another long topic. But anyway, but where we're situated in the reflected tree, in this material world, is based on our desire. Because we had the desire to enjoy separate from Krishna, then we were placed in a situation where we could attempt to do that. And that's the material world. And then there's whole... So 15th chapter is Pushottam Yoga, Yoga of the Supreme Person. The previous chapters is Nature, Enjoyer, and Consciousness, and the three modes of material nature, which are explaining the step-by-step process of how it is we got entangled, because that's another existential question. If I was a pure, if I am a pure spirit soul, how come now I think I'm a body? How does the soul get so covered over to think that I'm an American, I'm a lady, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm, you know, whatever. You know, it gets covered over. So Nature, Enjoyer, and Consciousness and Three Modes of Material Nature explain the previous steps so that we can understand where we are in this perverted reflection of the spiritual world, in the material world, the mechanism, how we get covered and placed in the in this material world. So so Krishna is very kind to give us this information, because previously we all thought, and even though we have had a wake-up call to realize I'm not really the center of the universe, that subtle thought that I'm the center of my universe still remains very strongly rooted. And the Sanskrit for strongly rooted is Shuvi Rula Mudham. Very deeply rooted. You can imagine, have any of you, well, how many of you have seen like gigantic banyan trees in person, not just on pictures from your travels probably? Yeah. And there's probably big ones in Miami someplace, right? Because I know they grow in Miami. Anyway, so banyan trees. And probably most of you have heard of Panchavati Forest, right? Where Lord Ram and Sita went in, when they were in exile. So Panchavati Forest is Pancha. Five banyan trees only that have grown and rooted and grown and rooted and interwoven together to make a huge forest. That's how big. And I can just remember a few of those banyan trees in, was it Calcutta, where they have big shops underneath and everything. It's like a building. Okay, so that banyan tree, the as the branches grow out, they also have roots that come down, and those roots connect to the ground and give it more life and more gusto to keep going on. So, in our analogy of this banyan tree analogy here, it's our activities that we've performed in this life and in previous lives that keep us entangled in the cycle of birth and death. Because of the past pious activities and the past impious activities and the mix of all of them together, here we are. We have so much intelligence, so much wealth, so much longevity, so much whatever, due to our past activities. And if we think, well, this time I'm just going to do good things, and I'm not going to get entangled in bad things, and I'm not going to get bad reactions, that's very good, but it's also impossible. Just like we have different seasons here in Florida, and we've just passed over a mini love bug season, right? Abhimanyu knows, he's got him all over his car because he drives to four counties during his work. Okay, so love bugs. You know, so as we're driving in our car, are we thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to go kill a bunch of love bugs now? No, you're just driving. You have to go from A to B and you got to get there, right? And in the meantime, if you're lucky, only 50 love bugs were killed. But there's probably more. And do you know about love bugs? bugs, you'd really have to wash them off your car, or else their bodily juices make the paint pit in your car. That's an aside. If you get anything from this lecture, hopefully it won't be just that information, but something useful anyway, right? Okay, so, in other words, even if we're thinking, even if we're having that together, that I'm a nice person, I'm not going to harm anybody, I'm not murdering, I'm not raping, I'm not stealing, I'm not this, I'm not lying too often, I'm not, you know, so many things, I'm not doing those things, I'm a nice person, I'm walking on the ground, I'm killing ants, or etc., etc. I'm driving in my car and there's love bugs or frogs or squirrels or deer that jump out in front of you. This is a Florida class, you know. So all of those things that jump out in front of you and you didn't really mean to kill them, but you killed them. We're responsible for that. So it's in other words, the material world is like flypaper. And flypaper might be out of date. Might be dating me in a different way if I would have said, oh, I have a CD, I have a tape of Prabhupada's lecture. That's like really dating yourself. Anyway, whatever. So sticky, it's sticky. Wherever you touch on the flypaper, you get sticky goo on you. And then you try to get it off with your other hand, you get, oh, so sorry. Yeah, so material world is like that. It's entangling. So Krishna, he very kindly presents this information in the Bhagavad Gita in so many different varieties of way, in so many different varieties of scriptures, in so many different times and places, for the ultimate purpose of extricating ourselves from the illusion. So one of the first things that's important to understand to come out of the illusion is to understand what the reality is. Understand that there's an illusion that I'm living in my life when I'm trying to, you know, just be happy and make a good living and enjoy, etc., etc. But Krishna's giving us the process of how to extricate ourselves from this. So I'm going to read a tad. You don't have to put it up on the board. It's okay. You're off duty for now. From the purport, first verse. This is the third paragraph. The process of extrication should be understood. In the previous chapters, it has been explained that there are many processes by which to get out of material entanglement. So Krishna, he's not giving us just one option. He's giving us various options. And what? According to our desire and understanding of what the options are, we can take those options. Just like if we were living in New York and we had to go to a meeting or our office was on the 80th floor, you have the option of how you want to get up there. You could go up the stairs and get there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and might lose your job or whatever, or you could go up the elevator. So Krishna's given different processes that have different efficacy. They're effective in different ways depending on what our desire is. So up to the end, so this is again the purport, and up to the 13th chapter, we have seen that devotional service to the Supreme Lord is the best way. Now Srila Prabhupada explains that also, just like third chapter, Karma Yoga, and then the fifth chapter, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness, and all those earlier chapters, they talk about, well, you can do good works, and by good works, you can be gradually elevated to higher and higher positions within the material world and higher levels of consciousness and work your way out like that. But when you read the fine print of that, the process of Karma Yoga, it's lifetimes and lifetimes of endeavor. It's not a quick fix. It's lifetimes and lifetimes of an endeavor. And if you can picture the material world, Srila Prabhupada in Shishupanishad, and I think it's the 10th verse purport, he gives the example of a coconut, you know, the green coconuts, the big fat green coconuts. So the material world is just like a big fat green coconut. Why is he saying that? So because it's enclosed. We're enclosed in that big, the coconut, the brown coconut that we're used to, or the juice, whatever, that's in the center after 2 or 3 inches of thick pulp, or not pulp, but woody stuff on the outside. Peel. Wood. Anyway, but inside, in the very center, there's the coconut that has a little, has a space in it. And the material world is like that, the inside of the coconut where the 14 planetary systems are. So if one is making progress, going up to the higher planets and living for a long time and enjoying, etc., etc., is it really progress? If you stay inside the coconut, it's not really progress. It's like moving your chair from the front of the, from the back of the temple to the front of the temple, or from this side to that side. That's okay. You can choose to where you want to sit, but if you're thinking that you want to get out of the temple room, then you have to go out the door. You know, I mean, when you put it like that, you think, duh, Nanda, why are you saying that? But anyway, the point is, you know, we're moving around in a chair, like, was it musical chairs? Sorry. Yeah, we're moving around in the material world, but it's not really progress because we're still stuck in the cycle of what? Birth, death, old age, and disease. In varieties, different varieties. Okay, so, so Krishna in this chapter, he says, he's giving the process of how to get out. So, in case you haven't noticed, I already ditched my idea that I was going to do the whole chapter. I'm only going to do a few verses. Second verse, and I'm going to get to the third verse, which talks about the process of extrication. Okay, second verse is, the branches of this tree extend downward and upward, nourished by the three modes of material nature. The twigs are the object of the senses. This tree also has roots going down, and these are bound to the fruitive actions of human society. Okay, and here's the process. Now in the third and fourth verse. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived within this world. So, that banyan tree example, if we picture one of those big banyan trees that I've personally seen in Calcutta, or if you have the opportunity ever to go to Panchavati Forest and see that that forest is made primarily up of only five banyan trees that are interwoven, if your task was to figure out where's the original tree, where did it start? The point is that, you know, it's a hard job to figure out. And Krishna's saying here, it can't be perceived. But he's saying, no one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But here's the important line. But with determination, one must cut down this tree with the weapon of detachment. Whoa. Now think of that one. Detachment. And so doing, one must seek that place from which, having once gone, one never returns. And there, again, bringing it full circle, and there, surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything has begun and in whom everything has been is abiding since time immemorial. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead and service to Him is the goal. And how do we get from here to there? Yes, you are correct to say knowledge. We need to have an understanding of here and there and our choices. But how actually, once you get a little bit of understanding, how to actually get there? Let go. Let go of our material desires. Let become detached. Now, detachment is a word also that has a bad rap, like jnana, because sometimes we think detached, but I have my family, I have my responsibility. Oh, be detached, Prabhu. It doesn't mean ignore them. It doesn't mean, you know, walk away from that. It means stop thinking that it's for my enjoyment. Ooh. Not easy. Easy to say. Easy to say. Be detached, Prabhu. Don't be so attached to the result. Give all the results to Krishna. Easy to say. Hard to apply, especially when it's money. Oh, hot. Hard to apply, you know. But that's the process, becoming detached. In the Bhagavatam, maybe 11th canto, I don't know. Where's the story of the Avanti Brahmin? Is that 11? Thank you. The Avanti Brahmin, and the 11 and the 24 gurus, is that the Avanti Brahmin, or is that somebody else? Am I mixing my stories?
Different story.
Okay, I want to go to the 24 gurus. Is that anyway? The story about the 24 gurus is the person who's learned spiritual truths by observing nature in different ways. And one of his gurus was the hawk. And there was a smaller hawk who had just gotten some freshly killed meat, prey. And as he was flying away with the meat to go to a more secluded place to eat it, he got attacked by two larger and stronger hawks. And as he was fighting to try to keep his dinner in his talons, the thought occurred to him, I'm undergoing all this pain because I'm attached to this so-called meat, dinner. And if I just let go of my dinner, they'll stop bothering me. And lo and behold, they did. He let go of his dinner, what he thought was going to be his dinner, and the other guys went for that, because that's what they were after. They weren't after just beating him up for no good reason. They had a good reason. When he gave up the good reason, they went for their reason. But he said he learned that it's the attachment to things that gives us pain. Wow. It's our attachment. It's our attachment to how we think the result is should be of our endeavors or whatever, or our family situation, or you fill in the blank, however you can add it to your personal life. We're attached to things, and therefore when they don't, for some strange reason, come out the way that we think they should, there's pain, emotional pain, physical pain, so many different types of pain involved. And then in trying to mitigate the pain, oftentimes we do things that implicate us more in more reaction, more fruit of action, more entanglement in the material world. And therefore, detachment is the key. Now, previously in the Gita, Krishna gave us a good hint about that also. Because if we're thinking, I have to be detached, I'm going to be detached, I'm going to be detached, well, perhaps slowly we'll be able to apply that and make some baby step type of progress. But Krishna gives us what? He gives us the fast track method when he says, if you experience a higher taste, then it's easy to give up the lower taste. If you experience the higher taste of pleasure derived from serving Krishna, even a little bit, you don't have to be a big yogi, a big sannyasi, a big this or a big anything, even a little bit, the fact that you're here now means that you have some taste, and we're trying to cultivate it and increase it, etc., etc., by association, by hearing, etc., etc. But Krishna says this is the process that we can do that simple, take that step to become detached from the material world by experiencing simultaneously while we're here in the material world a higher taste, the higher taste of devotional service. So it just keeps, Krishna conscious philosophy is so nice that you can go around in circles in the philosophy in different ways and keep coming to the same point. So how, and it sounds new and fresh every time. So how do we get that higher taste? Prahlad, we owe a depth of gratitude to Prahlad Maharaj. He said very succinctly, you get that higher taste by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Vandanam. By hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, becoming a friend, worshiping, etc., the Lord. So that higher taste fortifies us. It encourages us to cultivate more of a desire to make spiritual advancement, which gives us a higher taste, which gives us automatically a sense of detachment. If we look in our lives and our experience in devotional service, and for those of us who weren't born in particularly pious situations, you know, and we look at what our life was before we came to Krishna consciousness, and we look at what our life is now, It's a completely different life. And it's a completely different elevation of life. And it wasn't a hard struggle to get from there to here by Srila Prabhupada's kind mercy of giving us this whole program of hearing and chanting, etc., etc., about the Lord. And what does Krishna say in the 9th chapter? Shushukam kartam avyayam. It's joyful, and it's everlastingly performed. So, again, going to that example that Srila Prabhupada gives of the choice we have to either climb up the stairs to go to the office on the 85th floor or to take the elevator. So this Krishna consciousness program that Srila Prabhupada has given us is often compared, and Prabhupada compares it himself, to the elevator. It's an easy, you just get on the elevator, push the button, and zoop, you go up there. Not a heck of a lot of energy expended, wasted energy expended anyway, put it that way. So that's Krishna's kindness. So in this chapter, all of these things are explained in a nutshell. In the there's a devotee in the Bhaktivedanta Manor. His name is Sutapa, a brahmachari, Sutapa, brahmachari sannyasi. He's given an acronym to every single chapter of the Gita. So for this 15th chapter, he has the acronym HOME. H-O-M-E. So H... I'm going blank. H means... Oh, thank you, Krishna. Yeah, H means hotel or home. So the first verses of the Gita, of this 15th chapter, are explaining this material world, we're here like a hotel stay. It's a temporary stay. And our real home is in the spiritual world. That's the first 6 or 7 verses of this 15th chapter. The O is, and I thought I knew it so much I didn't have to write it down. O means on and on, or over and over. So someone who doesn't take to the process of Krishna consciousness and the whole process of extricating themselves, they go on and on, just like the birds in the tree, that big banyan tree. They go from one branch to another, trying this fruit out. And that fruit was kind of sweet, so they enjoyed it. And then they try the next fruit out, and that's kind of bitter, and they kind of don't go on. So that's what we're like in the material world. We're entangled and going on and on, looking for happiness in places where it's not everlasting. H-O-M. M means that Krishna is the maintainer. So also in this chapter, Krishna explains, I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you everything to exist in this material world and in the spiritual world. So he says, I don't know if I can find him that fast, but I'll try. Okay, 12. The splendor of the sun, which dissipates the darkness of this whole world, comes from me. He's giving us the sun. If we didn't have the sun, forget it. And the splendor of the moon and the splendor of fire are also from me. So the sun is giving the energy to the plants to grow. The moon is giving the moon is giving the juice of life to all the vegetables, the flavor in the vegetables. He also says, but not only is he giving us the sun and the moon inside our little coconut, inside this material world where we're situated, but he's also sustaining all the planets in the universe. I enter into each planet and by my energy they stay in orbit. And then he says, so he's providing the sun which grows the vegetables, he's providing the moon which gives life to and flavor to the vegetables, and then we need to eat the vegetables. And guess what he says then? In text 14, he says, I'm the fire of digestion. Because if we didn't have a digestive fire in our stomach, we wouldn't be able to burn up and utilize what we eat that Krishna gave us very kindly. And I am the air of life, just in case we thought you could hold your breath and still live. Outgoing into, and that's the way between the fire of digestion and the air of life, that's how food gets. And then he says, here's the one, this is the older and older you get, the more one I get attracted to 15:15. I'm seated in everyone's heart, and for me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta. So I don't mean to say that it's Krishna's fault that I'm forgetting things. It's not, that's not what he's talking about there. But he's talking about the forgetfulness. He gave us the ability to forget what it's like in the spiritual world so we could think that we're happy here.
Whoa.
He gave us that. Because otherwise, we couldn't do that either. So in other words, I want to build a house, and I figure out who's going to be the builder, and I figure out and I do all the things I need for the architectural plans. The builder comes along with the subcontractor, etc., etc. He builds the house, and after the house is built, he says, "This is my house. I built it." In my right mind, I wouldn't stand for that, right? You know, or anybody who just paid him X thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to build your house, and then he claims, "Well, I built it, so it's my house." That's what we're doing. That's our mentality. Krishna's giving us the sun, he's giving us the moon, he's giving us the fire of digestion, he's giving the air of life, etc., etc. He's situated in our heart, he's giving us knowledge, remembrance, and friendship. And they think, I'm doing it by my endeavor. You know what that's called? Illusion. We're an illusion. But he's also giving us the process on how to get out. Thank you for sending Srila Prabhupada and all the great acharyas and the books. So he's giving us everything, and so it's just a question of waking up to the real reality of life, and that sometimes is a slow, sometimes it's a slow process, and sometimes it's a quick process, and sometimes there's bumps along the road, but if we stick with the association of the devotees, it's like the roots of the banyan tree. How did I get there? I'm bringing it back. The roots of the banyan tree go down and they interlock. And therefore the tree stays strong through the storms. So if we stick with the association of devotees and the basic principles of Krishna consciousness, you could go on and all the things, but anyway. But we'll have the strength, the strength of community to make it through the different trials and tribulations of life. Hare Krishna. That wasn't the whole 15th chapter, but it was some of it, okay? Hare Krishna. Comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu. It's kind of on, it's a Hare Krishna mic. Depends on who you are, if they like it soft or loud, but he's going to turn it up for you.
Hare Krishna, Hare. Oh, there we go, okay. Two things I learned. When you were, you read the first verse, and one who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas, and then you talked about text 15, wherein Krishna says, all the Vedas are meant for knowing me. Yeah. I never really put that together, that's chapter 15. So that's kind of the goal of chapter 15.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Thank you.
And then the other thing I learned was I got to wash my car.
You got to
wash my car.
Yeah, you really do. Really do. Sorry. Anyway.
Thank you.
I also sell a product that... I can tell you about it afterwards. No, sorry. That was a joke. Okay. Anything, Swaha Prabhu?
Just a quick... I mean, it was excellent. Everything. Wait.
Prabhupada's lectures that you get from Prabhupada Vani every day. Mm-hmm. I think it was yesterday or the day before, and I never heard that one before from Prabhupada. He said, we are on a non-stop flight, but if you want, you can be on a non-stop flight.
Nice. Yeah. That's nice. And in devotional service, we're on a non-stop flight. That's nice.
Yeah, like the elevator.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. Ragatskis.
Very enlightening, Nanda. Thank you. I just heard Prabhupada say on a tape that...
Now she's telling us how old she is.
It
was a tape. It wasn't a tape.
It was one of those little machines, you know.
Okay, that's okay. I'm just sorry.
That when we can accept everything, with capital letters, everything, as Krishna's mercy, then we can go back to Godhead.
Wow, nice. Yes, and that's also another devotional art. Seeing the Lord's kind hand in everything, even in the disasters, oftentimes, or the trials and tribulations or whatever. During those trials and tribulation times, it's often hard to see it right then, but they say hindsight is 20/20. When you look back on your life and you see the trials and tribulations that we've been through already and how we evolved to the place that we are at now because of it, we had to adjust things and this and that, we can see that was Krishna's kind hand. I was going in the wrong path and then this happened and that, and you know, etc. So to see everything as Krishna's kind hand, that's actually a very advanced stage.
I think what she was saying is elaborated upon in 10:14:8.
That's not fair, you're not finished. Not everybody knows what that means. Now you have to give the translation, even if it's...
Paraphrase the translation.
That's fine.
Okay, so it says, anyone who undergoes the trials and tribulations that come in their lives, tolerating them, expecting the Lord's mercy, then at the end of their life, they have become
eligible. Oh, yeah,
just like a son inherits the wealth of the father just by living. So just by surviving.
Just by surviving. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, one becomes eligible to enter the kingdom of God. If in the good times we offer our obeisances to the Lord and thank Him, and even in the times of trial, if we offer our obeisances and thank Him and also pray for the understanding of what the lesson is that I have to learn in case we don't know what the lesson is right at that time, that'll come gradually. But either way, through the good and bad in life, if we're offering our respectful obeisances to the Lord in every situation, then one becomes what? Eligible to enter the kingdom of God at the time of death, just by staying alive in Krishna consciousness. Thank you. Thank you for that, and thank you for your kind attention, and all the glories to... you have another thing? Go ahead.
You mentioned about the lesson in troubled times that we should learn. Does it always just... I mean, I'm struggling with what is the lesson, you know, but does it always just boil down to my pride? I mean, just... It's a means of Krishna smashing my pride that I'm not in control, that I'm not don't have all the answers.
I don't think it's a type of an answer that you can give a one solid thing. Yes, it's your pride. Well, probably not only your pride. Yes, it's due to past actions in my past lives that I'm reaping a tiny token of a reaction. And Krishna's very kindly reduced it so much. So I would be a little hesitant to just give a one type of an answer, but or a very specific answer, meaning. But it, Seisha Prabhu, would you like to add or help me formulate an answer to that question? Sorry for picking on you, but okay. Anyway, I think it's just if we can develop a proper attitude in glorifying the Lord and realizing, okay, thank you, Krishna. One of the biggest lessons that Srimad Bhagavatam gives us over and over and over and over again is that we are responsible for our situation. It's not that because my child is so this and that I'm suffering. It's not that because my husband was so this and that I'm enjoying or suffering. It's not that if I had a different boss or I had a different car, whatever. It's not the material circumstances that I'm enjoying or suffering.
it's because of the different situations that I've put myself in, and oftentimes it's more like attachment, more than, you know, whatever. It's, I'm attached to things going in a certain way, and if I give that up and say, okay, Krishna, whatever you want, I'll make my endeavor. I won't stop my endeavor. I'll make my endeavor. But even Krishna covers that too, because he said, you can make your endeavor, but you're not entitled to the fruits of your action. That, even the fruits, even the results of your actions are given by Krishna, and they belong to Krishna. Yeah.
Thank you.
Jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very kindly. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Gaur. Gaur Premanandini.